And welcome in to the Davis and Beetle podcast. Jim Davis, Curtis Beetleman. Beetle, how are you?
I'm good.
You're good.
Yeah, I'm getting along. It's not snowing or raining today.
Well, that's good.
So you got that going for you.
You're not back in the motherland, are you? It kind of sounds like you're in Wyoming, the wind over there, but I guess no. You are kind of close, so.
We're close. It's breezy, but it's not Wyoming breezy.
Can you see Laramie from your backyard?
Almost, yeah. That was the goal. I just got a double collar house.
So. Just kind of like Sarah Palin could see Russia when she her backyard in Alaska. All right, we have a lot to get to.
War Memorial Stadium.
Right there. It's just down the street, right next to the 7-Eleven.
Right.
All right, let's start things out a little bit with the Rockies. Rockies taking on San Francisco as we talked today. They, of course, went to Arizona, ended up losing 3 out of 4. On the road, they have been absolutely horrible. At Coors Field, they've been respectable this season. But another chance to maybe win a series against Arizona. They put up the 14 runs in that Saturday night win, but otherwise, the Rockies struggled on the, particularly their bullpen struggled at times, and offensively also had some concerns. And the biggest concern was probably when Trevor Story Sunday got hit in the right index finger with the pitch, and there was some concern that he might have fractured his finger. Fortunately, that is not the case. He's okay. But the road continues to be a house of horrors for the Rockies in 2021.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to get a whole lot better. They don't seem to respond real well to leaving Coors Field. And, it'll turn a little bit at some point. But, you know, I think the nice part about the Rockies is their offense is playing better.
It is better. I agree.
You know, Story. Yeah. So Story's been a little more productive. Obviously, you got the scare with the finger there. But hopefully everything turns out okay. And the offense has been producing more. So hopefully that translates to more home wins for them for sure. On the road, you never know. Just doesn't translate all the same for that team. When it comes to pitching and the bullpen, just like you mentioned, you know, that's the biggest thing right now for this team is, you know, they're scoring enough runs now. It's just a matter of being able to finish off games. And they weren't able to against Arizona. So hopefully they can keep improving because they have. I think they've improved steadily over the season. The starting pitching is still solid. It'll keep them in games, so hopefully they can get in a little bit better consistent effort from the bullpen and find the right combinations. And I think that's what most managers are trying to do at this point in the year is figure out which combinations work the best, which situations work the best for the arms that they have. Of course, keeping them all healthy is the big trick, but you know, there's a few bullpens out there that are pretty set. You know, you watch the Dodgers and Brewers play their series, and one bullpen is a disaster, and the other one is absolutely set in stone. If you get to the seventh inning, you're in trouble, and you're probably not gonna score much more after that. So, and it's just a goal for every manager at this point in the year to figure out which combos they like and which ones fit best for what they do.
The Rockies having to put a couple of pitchers on the injured list, Antonio Sensatella from the starting rotation, and then Carlos Estevez from the bullpen. But how concerned are you about Daniel Bard? The other day against Arizona, you know, the Rockies scrapped their way and fought their way back into that game. They got it tied up 4-4, and then Daniel Bard comes on in the eighth inning, gives up 4 runs. They end up losing 8-4, and Bard, you know, his B-WAR last year was 7th best by a Rockies player, 0.9, best among relievers. This year, it's 2nd to last among all players that have put on a Rockies jersey this season. It's minus 0.6. He's made 10 appearances this year, all one inning or less, and has allowed at least 1 run in 5 of them. You know, I mentioned the 4 earned runs that he gave up on Sunday, by far his worst outing of the season. Purple Row, they talk about some concerns about his slider, certainly not being as good as it was last year. How concerned are you about Daniel Bard right now, Beetle? As you watch him pitch when you get a chance, what are some of the things you're noticing about Daniel Bard and some of his problems right now?
Yeah, I think there's some fair concerns for right now. You know, remember, he was a guy that had been on the shelf for a while.
Great story.
He's an awesome story, really cool story. But he'd been on the shelf for a while, so I think part of it can be a that freshness, that new season, right? You come back after some years out, that's worn off now, and there can be a drain there physically, especially for an older player that's been through some injuries and stuff like that. And so, you know, you can probably expect him to kind of get that second light back as he pushes through that little bubble. But I think the other thing is the teams have more data on him now.
It's the analytics
last year.
Yeah, so, it's the video. It's the analytics now. Used to be able to skate by, you know, for maybe a season or two before everybody got a real good, every team in the league got a real good book on you. And now, I mean, it doesn't take very long for, you know, the analytics departments to look at, you know, crunch the numbers. And I think that's, you know, certainly caught up with him a little bit as well.
Yeah. Yeah. They just find tendencies for pitchers. And I think that's the biggest thing. Once they compile all that stuff, you know, you can have all the data in the world. You have to compile it. You have to analyze it, and you have to have somebody to go through all that stuff. So guys that are on either their rookie year or they're a comeback guy like Bart, and you're relatively unknown in the data world, it takes a while. You got to compile that data, and you have to have somebody go through it. So by the time, you know, they do that, it's usually the end of the season, especially last year in a 60 game season. So there just wasn't that much out on him last year. So, you know, obviously they've done their homework now, and so they've probably seen some tendencies. So it'll be up to him to kind of go back to and maybe adjust some of his tendencies and look at the things that are hurting him. He mentioned his slider and stuff like that. Maybe it's not as sharp, but maybe he's thrown it in the wrong counts in the wrong locations too. Mm-hmm. He's thrown it where guys are looking for it. So that can happen with a lot of guys too, as they get comfortable in throwing certain pitches in certain locations, and you know, people start looking for it. If you're looking for it, you can hit it. No matter how hard you throw or how wicked it is, if that's the pitch you're looking for in the location you're looking for it, look at the barrel there. These are professional hitters, so you might have to change some of those tendencies.
All right. Monday, the Rockies announced that Bill Schmidt will be their interim general manager, replacing Jeff Bridich. Of course, the two sides parted ways last month. Schmidt's been with the Rockies organization since, about 2007, that's when he took over as the VP of scouting, but he's been there for, you know, roughly 20 years. So he'll be the interim general manager. And look, he's got a lot of experience, particularly within the organization, 30 years of scouting experience, 21 with the Rockies, 13 of that as the vice president of scouting for the club. He was at the Cleveland Indians and the Yankees and the Reds and the MLB Scouting Bureau before that. So he's got a background, he's got experience to be the interim GM. Buying or selling that when they start, quote, looking for the permanent replacement, the interim guy, the new boss, will become the boss, that Bill Schmidt will end up being this team's general manager when we get to the point where Dick Monfort decides to start, quote, looking around? He's going to say, well, we're comfortable with Bill. Bill knows our organization. He's got experience. Buying or selling Bill Schmidt as the GM of the Rockies permanently?
Yeah, it's a scary proposition, right? The Rockies have a tendency to hire from within,
right?
With the air quotes around that. And so that's what scares you, is, well, if it hasn't been working for the last, you know, 5, 6, 7 years or whatever, then hiring from within doesn't sound like a real fresh set of eyes. And
right.
So that's the scary part. He may be great, you know, and
he might
and
be.
Remember, I've been complaining about their scouting and development team here for the last few episodes.
What is he the vice president of?
Yeah, scouting and development, but amateur scouting and development,
right,
no less, which is what we really care. I've been complaining about. But there was a time while he was in that department where they were one of the best in the league,
top 10, top
Nolan
5.
Arenado, Charlie Blackman, and yeah, those guys were coming through their system. One after the other, they were putting impact players on the field. It just hasn't happened now for a few years. So is that his fault? I don't know. Like I said, that's an organizational issue that you have to find out who or what system is at fault for some of this. You know, what's happening or what has happened here, your ability to develop and scout players. So, you know, it might not be his fault. He may be the expert and the one for this job and the one that can fix that problem. And if that's the case, then he's the right guy. But, you know, I don't think the Rockies They're not going to be a player anytime soon in the big free agent market. Most pitchers want to come there, and most positional players only want to come there late in their careers to quote unquote help their offensive numbers or finish out their careers, so to speak, in a hitter friendly ballpark or whatever you want to, however you want to state that. Whether you believe in all that or not really doesn't matter. That's the case. That's the reality of what the Rockies are right now when it comes to trade and free agent markets. Players don't want to really enter this organization right now. So that's what you got to fix. You got to make it a more attractive place, and a place where you know that you can show players that you handle them well and develop them right and do the right things. Then they'll be more interested in it. May or may not turn around for the pitchers. You may have to develop all of those, okay, because of the stigma that surrounds your organization, your location. But positionally, they should be an attractive place, right?
Right.
And they just haven't been now for a while. So I think that's the biggest thing, is you got to focus on, you know, what your organization is to the rest of the world and to the rest of the league, and then try to improve that. If you can, then you'll probably be able to build a pretty good system and some rosters and some ability to make better trades, make better signs when it comes to free agents and off season and all those good things, because that's what you're going to need to do to compete with the places like LA and San Diego and the more attractive places for free agents. It's the same thing that's occurring in the NBA, right? Or that has occurred for a while. People want to build a certain organization because of their reputation. And until you get somebody like a Steph Curry to make a place like Golden State cool, they're not going there. So they got to find those people, and they got to find that way to make Colorado Rocky baseball a cool place to be and an attractive place for players.
It scares me that the Dick Monfort and new team president Greg Fiesel are going to be the two guys looking for the permanent GM, which I think it'll end up being Bill Schmidt. It wouldn't shock me in the least bit. I mean, Fiesel has no business being the team president. He might know, the best deal on hot dog buns and all the business side of things, but he does not know jack crap about baseball. His claim to fame is he played in the NFL. He played for my Denver Gold back in the 80s, USFL. Long live the USFL, by the way. I'm just super skeptical of, they could have had Clint Hurdle as their team president. And I get it, Clint's got his warts, but certainly would have been a guy that at least knows baseball. I'm not overly encouraged about the search for a GM, that it doesn't end up just being, well, Bill Schmidt's a good guy. He did a good job. Let's just go ahead and stay with him. So yeah, we'll see what happens. I know each week we're trying to pick a team that's kind of a surprise team right now. And for some reason, I just keep gravitating back to the NL Central, because we talked about the Reds previously. But right now, the team that leads that division is the Milwaukee Brewers at 17-12, as we talk on this Monday. May the 4th be with you, by the way. And, they've been able
to... And also with you.
Thank you. Always.
That's a Catholic thing, right? I don't know. I
thought that was a Jedi thing, but I'm not really sure. I'm not... Okay. But, they're winning their division right now with Lorenzo Cain hitting .167. With Christian Yelich, who's only played in 10 games this year and has yet to hit a home run. I mean, Colton Wong, the Rockies probably could have had if they really wanted to. He's playing really well right now, hitting .293. Luis Urias having a good, in terms of getting on base, he's walked 14 times. He leads in that category. Travis Shaw has hit 5 home runs. He's got 22 RBIs to lead them right now. It's been kind of who are those guys right now that are helping the Brewers get to that top spot in the National League Central?
Yeah, it's not surprising to me that they're a quality team. You know, that's a playoff team last year too, and has been for a few years. But like you said, dude, missing guys like Christian Yelich, and Lorenzo Cain hasn't done a whole lot. So they're doing it with people that I think most folks thought would be role players on that team. But I think the biggest thing for them is, I mentioned earlier that series with the Dodgers, one bullpen was rock solid and really difficult to score against, and the other one's a complete and utter disaster mess right now. And you probably at the beginning of the season might have thought that it would be the opposite. The Dodgers would have been the one that was rock solid, and it's not. It's the Brewers. The Brewers, with Williams and Hader at the end of that bullpen, are just ridiculously tough.
Yeah, fantastic.
To score on late. So if they get a lead, which they've been really good at, scrapping across a couple runs, you know, great starting pitching too, by the way, with Burns and those guys. But if they get a lead late, you're in big trouble because they just are really difficult to score on. So, like I said, that's pretty much what every manager trying to search and find right now is that kind of combo at the end of the game where they know their role, they know exactly what they're setting out to do. If they get that lead in that fifth, sixth inning, they know they've got a great chance to finish that game off because the opposing side knows they're going to be really tough to scrape runs late. So, you know, they're just in a kind of a mid-season combo with the starting pitching and bullpen right now that their offense doesn't have to be spectacular. And it's not. It's not like crazy off the charts to run production, but it's good when it needs to be good. And they've gotten a lot of clutch hits, like you said, from guys like Wong and guys like Shaw. Lots of clutch at bats, and they put enough pressure on you. But you know, teams are cracking right now, and they're winning close games. So that's a tough team. It's a dangerous team when it all comes down to it, especially if guys like Yelich and Kane return to form. So the trick will be: can you lean on that bullpen that heavily all year? Can you keep them healthy? Last year they couldn't. Devin Williams was hurt at the end of the year last year. Josh Hader has been hurt from time to time. So can you keep them healthy for the whole season? If you do, you probably have some success and have a chance to win a playoff series or two. So that's how good that bullpen is.
Do you want to quickly mention Chassa? They released their preseason high school baseball, which is just weird to say preseason and it's May 4th, but but they released their preseason baseball rankings. And in 4A, you have Palisade, which received some votes with Nate Porter, their head coach, so they did not get into the top 10. Montrose, Landon Wareham, your old buddy Landon Wareham, former Mav, yeah, has Montrose at number 7 in those rankings. And then you go to 3A Delta, Steve Ryer, his club, I believe they're the number 5 team right now in 3A. So you know, some former Mavs, Will Dixon over at Grand Junction High School now, and will be his first, you know, opportunity to be a head coach at Grand Junction after last year's season got stopped after the first two games due to the pandemic. So some Maverick names in the Southwestern League, Ray McLennan, of course, added for him, former Mav as well. But some of those guys, you know, very much front and center in the Western Slope League and, of course, the Southwestern League as far as coaches.
Yeah, absolutely. And D. Porter is a great old friend of mine as well. We played together at Mesa and we're neighbors in the apartments over there on Glenwood Avenue. So yeah, a wonderful old friend of mine there too, along with Landon Wareham. There's a few Mavs over here on the Front Range that are coaching as well. Pooter High School has Luke Cheever as their head coach. Trevor Stewart's in, our old friend Trevor Stewart's still down at Coronado in Colorado Springs, I believe. So pretty cool to see that old Maverick coaching tree doing some things. But you know, I fully expect those Western Slope teams to, you know, go deep into playoffs and things like that. There are always, you know, top-notch teams and well-coached teams. You know, Landon will do a great job with Montrose, and Coach Ryer there in Delta has been fantastic for a long time. And, of course, Ray and the guys at Pruda. So hopefully Grand Junction makes a little bit of a return. They got another Mav. We used to be Justin Little. Now it's Will Dixon. So they're keeping the Mav train line over there alive over there as well. So now, it doesn't matter when you start the high school season. The first few games always get snowed out, which, you know, that's what happened this year too. There's plenty of rain and snow out even in May instead of March. So it feels weird this year, I will say that. I know it's really fouled up a lot of the club sports, not just baseball, but, you know, the camp systems for football and basketball and stuff like that. It's really fouled up the schedules, and it feels weird to be starting in May for high school baseball, and it'll be even weirder to have such a shortened, condensed season. But I'm glad they get to play. This was the one sport that didn't get to play, not the one sport, but the spring season was the one that got nothing last year. At least with the winner, they got some season. It stunk that they didn't get a championship time, but they did get a winter season before it got shut down. But these guys, they didn't get anything. So I'm glad they're making it happen for these teams. The kids deserve to play. I would say this, you know, high school baseball on the Western Slope is as good as it gets in Colorado, because it's not completely destroyed by the club scene. And high school baseball here on the Front Range is, in my opinion, being finished a little bit every day by the club scene. And that's a sad deal for a lot of high schools that have a lot of tradition for baseball. So I love Western Slope high school baseball from that side.
Yeah. I think there's place for club baseball. We've talked about this a lot over the years, but you know, to me, there's still the number one priority should be playing on your high school team, your varsity program. And that's to me where your focus should be. And the other should be just additional opportunities to go out and get extra ABs and get more playing time. I don't want to leave out though. He's about Mavs coaching Joe White that was at Thunder Ridge forever. Joe's a super good dude. So don't want to leave out Joe White over at Thunder Ridge, who retired here a couple of years ago. Okay, we'll wrap it up today with nothing to do with baseball, but with Aaron Rodgers. Now, you live in Severance. Severance isn't that far from Boulder, right? It's, what, how far?
No.
So
45 minutes, an hour.
Can you do us a favor? Because I know you love the Broncos. Do you know who Shalane Woodley is from Big Little Lies, right?
Yes,
the fiance of one Aaron Rodgers.
Yes, I do.
She lives in Boulder.
Yeah.
Can you go find her and ask her what's going on? And can you say, hey,
I can try.
We would really like this Aaron Rodgers thing to happen. And we look, and I don't care if Packer fans think that she's Yoko Ono. I don't care. I really don't. She'll get over
that one.
As much as she'll be hated by people in Green Bay, she'll be loved even more by the folks here in Colorado and Broncos country. So if you can you go
true.
Maybe swing over by Boulder, talk to her, you know, say, hey, just letting you know that we really, really want Aaron here. And anything you can do to make that happen would be great.
I'm gonna disguise myself as a curbside busker there on Pearl Street.
Get a banjo,
my hippie clothes on and a banjo, and
get a fake beard
and just wait for Shalane. Yeah, just wait for her to come strolling by without a clue and be like, hey Shalane, we gotta talk. I first of all, with Aaron Rodgers, I don't like him. I'm not an Aaron Rodgers fan.
I hear a butt coming.
It takes you back to the day that Peyton Manning became available, right?
Yes.
I loved Tim Tebow. Love that guy. I never thought he was the most awesome quarterback in the world, but that was the most fun watching football that you can ever have, because it was a freaking roller coaster
ride. But you knew it wasn't going to last, though. You knew that, Beetle. We talked about that a lot. You knew it wasn't going to last.
Correct, but it was so much fun. But the second that Peyton Manning became available, it was like, oh, well, okay, we can move on from this. It's okay. It was fun, Tim. Love ya.
Tim's going to get his chance to play tight end in Jacksonville. He's going to get his chance to come back to the league. He'll be playing tight end for Urban Jacksonville.
I feel similarly. I do not like Aaron Rodgers. I think he's a turd. I think he's always been a turd. I don't enjoy his personality the way many people do. However, if he's taking snaps under center instead of Drew Lock, it's going to be go A-Rod all day, every day. I will root for the Broncos and root for them hard, because he's fantastic. He's really, a 1,000% upgrade from what they've got. I don't have to love the dude. As long as he wins some games for the Broncos, I'd be more than happy. But
I don't dislike him.
You gotta make that happen.
Yeah, I don't dislike him as much as you do. I find him prickly. I find him to be a kind of a caustic guy sometimes, but I also think he's a very bright guy. All of a sudden, if they get him, they're Super Bowl contenders. If this defense comes together the way everybody thinks it will, Pro Football Focus, going to the draft, they had the Broncos with the sixth best roster. And the biggest thing that was holding them back in terms of maybe even being a little bit higher was the quarterback position. What's that deal going to look like, though? And, of course, we have the June 1st situation with the cap. cap goes down about half of what, close to $30 million after June 1st. You know, and it could be something where it's, you know, Drew Lock, first round picks in 2022, 2023, 2024. You know, maybe, you know, some other people have said you throw in a second rounder in 2022 and a 2023 third rounder. Might be see Cortland Sutton or Von Miller go there along with first round draft picks. There's a lot of things that you know, there's a lot of miles we have to cover before we get to whether or not this is going to happen or not. But it certainly seems like right now that Aaron Rodgers is pretty dug in that he wants out of there.
Yeah. And if you're the Broncos, I mean, we said this about Deshaun Watson. Now Deshaun Watson is like kind of like,
it's radioactive,
you know, radioactive something. I don't know. You know, I would still love to have Deshaun Watson, but that's a problem right now. And I think Deshaun knows it's a problem, and he's probably going to have to bite the bullet and say, I'm sorry, I'm just going to stay in Houston and play and do my thing. So,
well, he's got legal problems. Now that's the legal issues and the lawsuits and everything that are now the thing that's really the problem for him.
Like, he can't go shopping anymore.
No,
he's going to have to get what he gets now, which is really unfortunate. I hope it's all untrue, but
me too.
You know, until we know for sure.
Sure. Have to wonder though.
That's something that you gotta work your way through. And it stinks for him. If it is untrue, it really stinks for him, but you know, he's still a talented guy and he'll get, you know, paid and he'll get to play if all that stuff comes out in the wash and everything's okay.
But if half of that's true, he's going to jail.
He's probably going to go to jail. If it is true, then he's got an even larger issue. So, you know, can't go near that one. But I'll say the same thing that I said before that the whole mess arose. And that is, you got to do everything if you're the Broncos to make it happen. If it doesn't happen, it's got to be because of them, not because of you. This is your chance. The NFL is about winning Super Bowls. Of all the organizations, they should know this, and they should be pressing every button they can. And if that means mortgaging your future picks here for the next 5 years, do it. That guy will get you on the brink of the Super Bowl again, no doubt, without question.
Well,
he'll get you right there again.
And we know that even though George Payton passed on Mac Jones and Justin Fields the other night with Patrick Surtain, which I think still a really good pick, I don't have a problem with what he did. There's reports from CBS Sports that, you know, not only did they kick the tires on Matthew Stafford, that's been fairly well known, but they did inquire about Andy Dalton. They did make a call about him. They, you know, obviously went out and traded for Teddy Bridgewater. They're, you know, they've made inquiries into, you know, Deshaun Watson as well. And so, yeah, you know, I mean, this story is not over. It won't be over for a while. And now it's going to be who blanks. Does Brian Gutekunst, I laugh when I say his name, the GM of the Packers, you know, does he finally go, okay, you know, we've reached an impasse. Rodgers doesn't want to be here. He might pull a Carson and Palmer and decide to retire, and then we're forced to, you know, to trade him anyway. And like the Bengals did when they sent Palmer to the Raiders. So I don't know. We'll see what happened, but it will happen. But
what do you do if he says that though? If you're the GM of the Packers, and Aaron Rodgers says, "Not coming, man.
I'm not going to play. I'm done."
Do you let him go? Do you let him retire?
But you're still going to have, if he retires, because the Bengals still had the control. You know, they still had him in terms of their, you know, under their contract, under their control, even though he had announced his retirement. And so when they had to end up making that trade, and they still benefited from it, but they probably got less because they were stuck. Well, we got to move him now. And they probably hurt themselves a little bit by waiting. We'll see how long they wait. We'll see if Aaron Rodgers goes, okay, I'm going to call your bluff. I'm going to retire.
Yeah.
Then what are you going to do now?
The guy doesn't want to be there. Get what you can. Get the as many picks and as much as you can for him. Say,
and move on.
Moving on.
Yeah, they got love. They'll, you know, we'll see. You know, everybody I've read that he's not ready to go, but that might be where they're stuck. They spent a first round pick on him, and so now he's going to have to be the guy that. good luck. Replace the first ballot Hall of Famer. Good luck with that.
Yeah. I hope he's great. because I hope Aaron Rodgers is wearing orange and blue.
Me too, man. See, you will learn. Discount double check. You'll be okay with it. Trust me. You'll be okay.
Uh-oh,
you might I'll even grow a Rodgers. You might grow a Rodgers mustache. I think you just might. I think you'd look good in that.
If I could grow a mustache, I would have already done it.
That's true. I've known you long enough to see when you've tried to grow facial hair, and yeah, you're right about that. That's not going to happen.
Doesn't work.
Sharpie. You could always use a Sharpie.
There you go.
That's always an option for you. All right, Beetle. Take care, man. Talk to you next week.
You as well. We'll see you soon.
Okay.